Christ. And you can take it to the bank, folks. God is with you every step of the way. He will not leave you, nor will He ever forsake you, but He will be closer to you than a brother or a sister. And I tell you, I miss my sister today. It's almost a year. Me and my sister were very close, but not as close as the Lord. Because the Lord said, I'm closer to you than your brother. I'm closer than you than your sister. And so I thank God that I can be comforted. And you need to thank God that you can be comforted to know that God is with you every step of the way. Now I'm going to have you to do something that we do every Sunday morning. You know what I'm about to do. We're going to read Galatians 2 and 20. We got to get this in. So let's read Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You may be seated today. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today, and it's good that we can fellowship with one another. If you have your Bibles today, I know it's going to be projected on the screen, but if you have your Bibles today, I want you to go with me to a book of the Bible called Malachi. Malachi, and it is the last book of the Old Testament before you go into the New Testament. So it should, if you split the Bible in half and open it up, you'll see where it's Malachi, the first chapter beginning with the sixth verse. Malachi, I'm going to give you a little few seconds there to get to that. I know it's going to be projected on the screen. The Bibles are in the pews, but I want us to look at this a little bit. Malachi 1 and 6, and we're going to look at this. The title of my message today, Why Not the Best? Why Not the Best? And we're going to look here a little bit as time will permit here. Malachi 1 and 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. And if then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Saith the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer a defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept your favorably? Saith the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us while this is being done by your hands. Will he accept your favorably? Saith the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept any offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun, even to it going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, saith the Lord of hosts. But you profaned it, in that you say that the table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit, its food is contemptible. You also say, what is a weariness? And you snare at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lamb, the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and take a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord with a blemish. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Can I hear an amen to God's word? God has a great plan for his people. And we see in this passage here how that God's people is coming back. They had been in exile. They had been taken away, and now they're coming back to their homeland. They're coming back to their place. And yet they had forgotten what they had been doing. They had been under a rule by a king. They had been under a rule of other things that was going on in their life. They were taken away from their country, and now they're coming back. But then they forget where they came from. They forget what God had done, that God had his hand upon them through exile, that God had his hand on them to bring them back to their country, to bring them back to the place where God wanted them. And they forgot about all the things that God had done. And so it even got that the priest was acting bad. He wasn't doing what God asked him to do. The people were acting bad. They weren't doing what God wanted them to do because they had been away from the law, and they didn't want to go back in to the law of what God's love and all of his grace showing them what they needed to do step by step. And guess what? God was saying, am I really being honored? Am I really being your God? Am I really the God that you are needing to serve? Am I that what I need? He says, no matter whether you or anybody else, meaning the Gentiles or anybody else of the nation, I'm going to get praise, I'm going to get glory, and I'm going to get honor. And so today, I want you to know today, why not the best? I want you to know today, the best is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what you may do, what you may say, where you may go, but God Almighty is God, and He sustains the world. He sustains the universe, and He sustains us. And whether we praise Him, the Bible says the rocks will cry out if you don't praise God and give Him glory and honor. And I want you to know today, when we're dealing with things in life, we're still to give God praise. Whether we're in the valley, we're still to give Him praise. We're still to give Him honor. Why? Because it doesn't change our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is always there for us, and He's in our best interest. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. God had a great plan, even when Israel was in exile. The Bible says in Malachi 4:2, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go and you shall grow fat like a stalled calves, and you shall trample on the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, saith the Lord of hosts. I want you to know today that there are those that are walking away from God that knew God at one time. They're neglecting Him. They don't want to hear nothing about Him anymore. You always heard me say they're being what they want to be, say what they want to say, go where they want to go, do what they want to do. But I do want you to know that there are those of the saints of God, that there is a remnant. There is a group of people that are still loving the Lord. There are still people that are praising God. There are still people trusting God and trusting Him through everything that they're dealing with. There's still a remnant, folks. It doesn't mean that everybody is sinking, because everybody's not sinking. There are some that's withstanding the trials trials and withstanding the test of times, even in these last days, they're trusting, they're walking, they're praying with the Lord and having that relationship. And what does God say? God says, I will bless them. I will take care of them. I will be your God. If you begin to do and worship the Lord God Almighty, then He will be your God in your life. God wants His people to be free. Jesus promises freedom to you and I. As we know, as we've been celebrating the 4th of July, freedom is not free. It has been bought with a price. People have bled and died for the freedom that you and I are enjoying right here in the United States of America. And we have that freedom, and God has even allowed that freedom to have. So we need to nourish the freedom that we have. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it for granted. Because God has caused those to fight for the freedom that you and I have today. John 8:36 says this, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free. Free indeed. So when you're in Christ Jesus, you are free, for you are no longer under the law. You are no longer under sin. You're no longer under the rule of the enemy. When you've accepted Jesus Christ in your heart and life, you have been set free. Listen, this freedom will produce the best possible outcome for your lives. Why don't all church members enjoy, a question, why don't all church members enjoy this wonderful experience of having the very best? Many live beneath their opportunities, and many are content to just be good, and they think on these things like this. I want just enough happiness to keep me sweet. I want just enough trials to keep me strong. I want just enough sorrow to keep me human. I want just enough hope to keep me happy. I want just enough failure to keep me humble. I want just enough success to keep me eager. I want just enough friends to keep me comfort. And to give me comfort. I want just enough wealth to just meet my needs. And I want just enough enthusiasm to make me look forward tomorrow. And I want just enough determination to make each day better than the day before. And I want to share with you today, it is a formula of frustration. God has great plans for those who wish to get beyond the level of just living. And folks, we're not to live through this life just enough. Just enough. Because God is not a God of just enough. God is not a God that just gives a little bit. God is not a God that it does everything He can do to give what He can give to you. Listen, God wants to unleash great and mighty things. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man of what God has in store for those that love Him and is called according to His purpose. This God that we serve, Jehovah God, is a God that sees you exactly and knows and has the best interest of you to move out, to give you, equip you, and to be the servant and the disciple that He has called you to do. And if He's going to bring you through the trials, He's going to equip you through the trials, and He's going to pull you through the things that you and I deal with through the test of times, and you you will live a victorious life, and it won't be just enough, because He'll give you great and He'll give you more. It'll be a cup that's pouring over. You can't contain it. You can't hold it. You can't bring it in, because God is going to bless you and give you great and mighty things in your life. He has it in store, ready to release it to you. You just got to be willing to accept it, receive it, open with arms and say, Lord Jesus, bring the victory down into my heart and life, that I may be pleasing unto you. Give God praise in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, I want you to know the book of Malachi. It has four chapters, small little four chapters, but there's great volumes of understanding of God and who He is. The book of Malachi was written during a trying time in Israel. The Jews had returned from captivity with high hopes. As years passed, nothing changed. They became disillusioned, and a spirit of depression began to set in. Their priests became careless about the things of God. And when they began to complain, God told them to look at the real problem. And there's times that when we look, when we have problems, we want to look at everybody else around us, except we don't want to look at ourselves. And folks, we're not to look from the outside in, but we are to look from the inside out. And we are to take examination of us, the Apostle Paul says, to examine to see if you and I are of the faith. And there are times that we have to examine ourselves and make sure that we're still on the right track, that we're still walking, and that we're still moving in the direction towards the cross that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do. You see, God's people came back and got laxidated. They got relaxed. They wanted to do what they wanted to do, be what they want to be, say what they want to say, go where they want to go. Oh, they were in exile for so many years. They were begging God, God, where are you? God, where are you? And when God showed up and God showed out and He began to move upon them, then guess what? Even the priests got relaxed and wouldn't even give the very best to God, was trying to give Him leftovers. You see, the book of Malachi was written to people who professed faith in God. Yet the challenge is still today, and it's still the same today. There are those that may be professing that they know the Lord Jesus Christ, but do they really have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Everybody can say, I'm a Christian. Everybody can say, I know Jesus. Everybody can say that. But what is your relationship, not just Wednesday night, not just Sunday morning, but is your relationship intact on Monday morning? Is it intact on Tuesday morning? Is it intact on Wednesday morning? Listen, these are things that we must take inventory in our walk with God, because that's where the children of Israel were. They were being challenged by God because God was not seeing no glory. God was not seeing any worship. God was not seeing anything from His people. He had brought them out expecting them to worship, magnify, glorify Him, thank Him for what He's already done. That's what's wrong with our world today. We're not thanking God. We're not praising Him. We're not exalting Him and letting Him know, you brought me another day. You brought through me another week. Lord, thank you for sustaining me and taking care of me and my family and the job that I work. You see, we're always asking God, God, I need this. God, I need that. God, I need you to touch this. God, I need you to do this. God, I need you to answer this. It's God this, God this, God that. But have we ever stopped enough to just thank God for our families and thank God for our friends and thank God that we have a mind and we have a heart that's pumping and that we've got lungs? Are we thanking God for the things that we already have, or are we trying to chase other things that we don't have? Because I want to share with you today, that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to stay on a run, chasing other things that you don't have. And I want you to know today, you're going to make a big mess in your life. Why not select the very best? And you say, well, Pastor, what is the very best? The Lord Jesus Christ is the very best that you can select. It doesn't mount to a hill of beans of anything else. Because everything else does not matter. What does matter is to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to make Him known. We cannot neglect our Lord and Savior because He has done so much for you and I. Malachi 3 and 6 says this, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." Look at this scripture. I am the Lord, period. Whether you like it or not, He is the Lord. And He says, I do not change. He doesn't change colors. He's not a lizard. Lizards jumps from place to place and they change colors. He does not change colors. He does not change. For in the beginning it was He. And at the end, it will be He. Because He does not change. That's why God cannot lie. Because He does not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O son of Jacob. Listen, the key verse is found in Malachi 1 and 14. Cursed be the deceivers who has in his flock of male, and take a vow, but sacrifice to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king. Know who you're dealing with. Know who you're dealing with. Listen, God can take enemies and have enemies to counterattack against each other and kill themselves. When the children of Israel were marching around with Joshua and they were going around to the promised land, they began to sing. They could have had swords, they could have had all the armor, they could have had everything, but they were going in to conquer the promised land, and they went around and they began to sing. And God said, begin to shout. Not with bullets, not with bow and arrows. Begin to shout with praise. And the Bible says when they went around to shout with praise, guess what? The walls came tumbling down. The Bible says the walls were fortified. They were doubled. Nothing could get through it. But when God said, I want you to march around it, I want you to sing, and then I want you to shout, it had nothing of them and their might to do anything. It was all in God's power and His might. It is all. It is not our might nor our power, but it is the name of the Lord God, our host. He's the one that will perform it. And the same way today, understand Jesus Christ and God is almighty. And the Bible clearly says in Malachi 1 and 4, for I am a great King, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. In other words, God knows exactly what is going on with you. He knows exactly what's going on with me, and He knows what's going on in the nations. Let me go on here. My first point today is this. Look at the blemished sacrifices in daily living. Look at the blemishes, sacrifices in daily living. It hurts to be honest, but that is the only way to know God's best. Malachi 4 and 2. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like the Stalford calves. God confronted them with their failure to keep their marriage covenant with him. When we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and when we are saved by grace, we have a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. You are now united with him when you have gone from your old ways, and now you have relinquished all your old, and now you've been renewed. You are new in Christ Jesus. You now have a covenant with the Lord. Now you're now saved by grace, and your relationship now is with the Lord Jesus Christ, just like you have a marriage covenant. You have a covenant with the Lord. Malachi 2 and 13, and this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Why? Because you've walked away from the relationship that you had with the Lord. Yet you will say, oh, well, what reason, God? We're still doing what you've asked us, but the Lord has been witnessed between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously. What are you saying, Pastor? What Malachi is saying, that we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us to be severed from him. He doesn't want us to divorce him. He doesn't want us to do our own thing, but he wants us to embrace the cross. He wants us to embrace him and trust him and not go away from him, but draw close to him. Imagine the glory that would come to God if our homes were the place of peace, joy, love that God intends for them to be. Christians' homes should be exhibit A to God's power to produce happy homes. We should live in the business world with integrity. Let those with whom we work and do business have a reason to believe in our God. Let me say it again. We should live in the business world with integrity, letting those with whom we work and that we do business have a reason to believe in our God. We should live as if God's house and service are very important. Don't compromise your walk with God. Don't compromise your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand bold, stand strong, stand for what's right. My second point today is look at the blemish of the sacrifices of financial responsibility. How thankful are we for the prosperity we enjoy? God gives you your wealth. God gives you your increase. We are blessed by what God gives us. Why in return, why not bless Him? Why not bless him and give unto him? You see, what is the source of our energy and intelligence? Do we really want to live in our own resources? I don't want to live just in my own resources. I want God to bless the resources that he's given me. God has wanted to bless you in the resources that you have. You have a mind. You have a body. You have hands, you have feet, you have those things that God has given you so that you can begin to receive what you need on a daily basis. Listen, we should live as if God's house and service are very important. As we look at this, we look at the blemished sacrifice of financial responsibility. How thankful are we of prosperity we enjoy? Do we really want to live in our own resources? Remember James 1 and 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Every good and perfect gift does not come from you. Every perfect gift does not come from me. It does not come from anybody else, but it comes from above. God expects the same level of faithfulness as He did from the Old Testament Jews. What does God expect? God is challenging us to test Him and see what happens. He clearly lets us know. Malachi 3 and 6 says this, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you're not consumed, O son of Jacob. Yet for the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Return, God says, return to me, and I will return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? He says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you, Lord? And God says, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." And He says, when we begin to give what is His, then this is what He says. If you will begin to give what I've asked you to give, He says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be delightful land, saith the Lord of hosts. That's why I've always said you can never outgive God. And I want to encourage you today that if you're not tithing, you're not giving, I challenge you today, begin to give in tithes and offerings, and I promise you, God will richly bless you, and you will come to me and say, "Pastor, when you said that, I started it, and I've kept it up, and guess what? God is blessing me over and over with abundance, and I cannot believe how good God is," because you will experience the blessings of God, because God was telling their people that if you will do what I've asked you to do, I will take care of you and I will guard you and no evil will come against you and your place will not be devoured because you're doing what I've asked you to do and I will be your God. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why not have the very best? Because God wants to give you the very best. He opens up the Word of God. He tells us clearly as a roadmap and a GPS that we would know exactly how to be a blessed nation, how to be a blessed people, how that God truly loves us day in and day out and doesn't want us to be devoured, but He wants us to be a blessed people because we are sons and daughter of the Most High God. He's giving us the power and the strength to do what He's asked us to do. And He says, fall out and begin to work and see the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For you will be a delightful land, saith the Lord of hosts. God is challenging us to test Him. This is the only spot in the Bible that God says, test me, and I will prove to you who I am. This is where you test Him. And He says, you can test me all day long, but I will prove to you that I am the love and that you will see the love and you will see the blessings that will come from above. We do not give in order to be blessed. We give because we worship and love. Let me say it again. We do not give in order to be blessed. We give because we worship and love. Third, in my closing, look at blemished sacrifices offered in our relationship with God and others. This may be the most blatant area of weakness in Christianity. We need to love God, live like it's because words are cheap. Not the sequence of better Christians, better church, better church, better communities, a better world. Is there any wonder Satan is on a crusade promoting mediocrity of Christianity? Genuine Christianity is the supernatural walk with living, with dynamic, personal, having a personal relationship with God. How are you living with others? 1 John 4 and 7. Behold, let us love one another, for the love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who do not love does not know God, for God is love. The love of God must come from you and I, especially if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Love is displayed by the characteristics we see in 1 Corinthians 13 and 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked and thinks no evil. In my conclusion, God has wonderful plans for you and for me. God has wonderful plans. Why not have the very best? Why not receive the very, very best? Listen. Malachi 4 and 2 says this, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go and you grow fat like the stuffed calves. You will be fed, you will be given, and God will bless. John 10 and 10 says this, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. 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 Overflowing. Overgiving. Constantly. Blemished living is offering blemished sacrifice to God. Why would we live beneath our privilege and fail to enjoy life at its best? Why would we live beneath our means. Oh, if I just had enough of this. Oh, if I had just enough of that. Oh, if I could just have enough of this. Folks, listen, God is not a God of just enough. As you've heard me say, God is Lord of all. If God is not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. God's all. God is you and I. God is, that's all we need is God. Now, there's nothing wrong to have nice things in life. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having family. There's nothing wrong with that. I like nice things just like you. But you know what? I don't let those nice things become my God. I don't let nice things become my God. I don't let those things rule my life and my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is much greater and much better than anything in this world. You can have all the millions, you can win the lottery, you can have all the great things and everything, but guess what? Every article that I've ever read of people winning the lottery and winning money and that, it is nothing but pain, and it's nothing but strain, and it's nothing but worry and frustration, and they wind up losing everything, and if you're not careful, you'll wind up losing your soul. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? The Bible says if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what does it profit a man? Folks, I want you to know it's freely given, it's freely received. Jesus wants us to have eternal life. Stand with me across the building today. God does not want none of us to perish, but He wants us to have everlasting life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth upon Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He doesn't want none of us to perish. None of us. But He wants us to have everlasting life. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of eternal life is forever. What a mighty God that we serve today. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray today. Dear Heavenly Father, Son and Holy Spirit, we come before You right now.